This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. We have a pair of reviews for you this week. Not really related at all, actually, very different films. But we're starting off today with King Richard, which is directed by Reynaldo Marcus Green, written by Zach Bailyn, starring Will Smith, and of course, about Richard Williams.
Yes, Richard Williams, father of Venus and Serena Williams, right? Very important to say. And I must say, I was initially a little skeptical about choosing to focus on the dad as a sort of a window into the story of these two sports legends. But I enjoyed this film very much. I mean, as far as biopics go, it did all the things it's supposed to do. It had great performances. I went away feeling, I think, exactly those things you're supposed to feel: inspired, taken by the journey that someone like this had to go through. And the fact that the people it centers around are still very much a part of today's conversation and fabric, I think, helped a lot.
So this is going to sound so wrong, but anytime Will Smith plays someone who doesn't have money, I am paying full ticket price to see it. Like, I am all locked in, like, because that's the biggest acting stretch, right? This is Will Smith. We've known him for decades. One of the richest families in Hollywood. He himself is a pop culture phenom. So for him to be able to slip into that skin and play someone who's struggling to make ends meet, who's struggling to be someone successful, or is just struggling at all, is a stretch. And whenever he does that, he does it so well and does it so successfully, and he makes you believe that he's this person. So I'm always like, yes, I will watch like Pursuit of Happiness. I will watch 7 Pounds. I will watch this movie, King Richard. And even now, like even after all that time, even after becoming like a YouTube sensation and stuff, he still gets to do it so well. Like, I forgot, like during portions of this film, that he was Will Smith because of how well he plays that role of Richard Williams.
So I'm a big tennis fan. I really, really love tennis. And so because of that, I was familiar with Richard Williams and, of course, with Venus and Serena. And like you, Sharmila, when I first saw the title of the film and saw the trailer, in fact, I was a little bit skeptical. I'm like, this guy, I wouldn't say he's a controversial figure, but he's not. I suppose if you thought of a biopic, right, about the Williams sisters, I'm not sure that most of us would have gone, you know who we need to know more about, not the respective world number ones, not the goat. We need to know about the dad. And so I wasn't 100% sold with the trailer and all that. But I did enjoy it a lot, I think partly because it focuses on the earlier part of their lives and careers. And because while it is about tennis and tennis plays a crucial role, we don't actually get up to the point of the true glitz and glamour. In fact, the era of this movie, or the time span of it, is important, right? So it begins with Richard Williams training his daughters when they're very young, trying to get them access to clubs, trying to get them access to coaches, you know, making the rounds on the junior circuit, and then eventually up to the first pro tournament that Venus Williams plays. And that's it. So we don't go on to like Wimbledon and the US Open and all the rest of it. And I thought that that was an interesting choice. And that made sense. So watching it, realizing what era of their lives we were focusing on, the whole story kind of coalesced and came together. I enjoyed it a lot. I will say that I think it is unevenly paced, though, and that there are parts of it that were quite slow.
Yes, I see what you're saying. But I think for me, actually, once I got into the film, I didn't feel it flag in any way. I didn't feel that it was slow or that I wished some parts were paced differently. But I know what you mean, I think. But just the overall sum experience, that didn't stick out for me. I did want to say that your point about the period that it focuses on, it also does another very important thing, which is the real success of this film, or the real underdog story, isn't necessarily even just the story of Serena and Venus, but instead the story of a community. And I think, you know, choosing to focus at this point in time, highlighting actually the real challenges and difficulties that this family came from, and just how much of a long shot it was that as he says over and over, not just one champion, but two champions from the same family. I think this film does all of that so well, because it's easy now to look at, you know, Serena Williams and forget how many steps it would have taken for her to get where she is. And just all that hard work and all the humiliations and the challenges and the exclusions that they would have repeatedly faced. And I think that's something that this movie doesn't overlook, and in a very interesting way actually flips even what a sports film is, because that idea of what is success is almost not even about the sporting success, but a sort of success of spirit, without sounding too corny about it.
But do you guys also think that that's why the movie isn't as big as it's supposed to be? Because this is a big Will Smith project. There was a lot of marketing that went into it, but it's not exactly a pop culture sensation. Like, it's not a box office hit. It's not a pop culture thing. Like, not many people are talking about King Richard. And I was wondering if that's because it doesn't focus on Serena and Venus. So it's not a traditional sports film. It doesn't have the usual tropes. It doesn't have the usual drama. And instead, it's focusing on Will Smith, right? Like we've said. But I'm also thinking, like, is that the reason why it had a reverse effect? Like, it became more of a slow burn drama instead of those sports films that would easily make at least some box office amount or become somewhat of a success at the box office instead of what it's doing now. It could also be because it came out on HBO Max at the same time. So it had like a streaming release. But I don't know. I don't see many people talking about this the same way they would talk about other Will Smith movies, whether they were flops or not. You know, there's not much conversation, I guess.
I think people just don't really know what to do with dramas anyway, in terms of going to the cinema to watch a drama, especially if it is not going to be set against the back frame of like tense tennis matches and, you know, just all the rest of that that comes with a sports biopic. So we've been talking about the pacing and getting into it. And Sharmila, I wanted to pick up on the fact that you said, once I got into it, I didn't feel the pace flag. And that's true for me too. But for me, the part where it started, where I really got into it, was where it embraced a little bit more of the sports movie tropes, which is not to say that I wasn't interested in the intricacies of the Williams family home, because I think a lot of the intimate scenes in their house in Compton, whether it's the exchanges between Richard Williams and the mother of the two girls,
Oracine.
Yes, Oracine Price. Those exchanges were lovely. There's a scene where he forces them all to watch Cinderella and over again, which I really liked, you know. I really enjoyed that. I don't want to imply that those weren't important. But I think, you know, to what you were saying, Arvin, about it feeling almost like two movies, I felt like it was almost entirely the sporting stuff and the sports biopic stuff, the underdog sports movie that drove the plot forward. Without it, it didn't feel like there was a lot of forward motion.
For me, it was the performances, I have to say. I mean, Will Smith is clearly the star in this, and he does such a good job playing Richard Williams. And, you know, having seen footage of Richard Williams before, and the film, of course, in very traditional manner, includes some at the end of the film, you can see that actually, as eccentric as Will Smith plays him, the real guy was even more eccentric and even more kind of just borderline difficult to like. And so I loved Will Smith's performance. And I think the moment I saw him come on screen and saw how he was going to play this character, I was hooked. And because of that, every time he came on screen, I was just so interested to see this person who was just a fascinating person to watch and get to know and not always like, because he's not always likable. And then surrounding him, there's this great cast of, well, for me, the real surprise was John Bernthal playing Rick Macy. I kept thinking, who is this guy? I recognize him, but I don't. But also Anjanue Ellis, who plays Oracine, she's got a Best Supporting Actress nomination alongside Will Smith, who got Best Actor. Yeah, I think I'm not a huge sports fan. I've been quite open about this. So I love sports dramas, but I think for me, this film, it was a performance-driven film.
So that part, I completely agree. I really like that the drama was confined internally to the character. So the characters themselves are the drama, as opposed to you having like your usual antagonist that shows up somewhere along the way. You have a bad guy or like a bad athlete who cheats, or a bad coach on the opposing team, or someone who has to be antagonistic in some way to make the movie move forward, right? So I really appreciated the fact that they stuck the story to the characters and how they were supposed to grow. grow and their internal struggles and the struggles they had as a family, instead of finding something else to push them and pressure them. Because then it would have been like, not to say that it doesn't happen, but I think based on the biography and their own stories, it would have been a bit weird to have these sort of amped up drama tropes just to tell the story instead of sticking to what actually happened in their lives. Since, like you said, they are real people and it's not like it happened a long time ago. Like they are still in the conversation now, like today.
They are real people still living, still executive producing this film.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, there is definitely that. And I do also agree that in terms of the pacing and the reason why it is what it is, because part of the problem is that it starts and stops, right? Meaning every time Venus Williams's career is just about to take its next step, her father goes, nope, we're going back to school, or no, we're going to Disneyland. And that's just true. That is just what happened. And so I think, yeah, part of its charm actually is exactly what you said, that it doesn't exaggerate. And I do think that's important. The performances, though, I want to focus a little bit more on, and we'll come back for that. We're talking today about King Richard, which is out in cinemas. In the US, it dropped on HBO Max. I assume that the same will be true here pretty soon. We'd like to hear from you. Have you seen it? Are you a fan of old-fashioned dramas or sports biopics? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And together we are reviewing King Richard, the first of our two reviews this week. So we've talked a bit about the pacing of the movie, the plot of the movie, such as it is, considering it is based on a pretty well-known story about pretty well-known people. But yeah, about the performances, right? Will Smith is a totally different shape. As in throughout the film, I thought that that was remarkable. Talking about, you know, the fact that we've seen Richard Williams in news footage, in documentaries, watching Will Smith lean forward perpetually through the entire movie, watching him drive the van in a very particular way, literally the way he holds his body and the way his face is shaped looked completely different. Like he really embodied this person.
Yeah, it made me feel every ache and pain of this person's life, you know. There was something quite profound about this performance. There are a couple of actually pretty difficult scenes of him getting into this fight with some people in the neighborhood and things like that, which, I mean, Will Smith, I've always thought he was greatly underrated as a dramatic actor. And watching this made me realize how much I miss watching him do good dramatic roles. You mentioned a couple of them earlier, and a lot of them do tend to kind of lean towards the impoverished black man trope. But even in Ali, for instance, he's such a good actor. And I just think that I'd like to see him do more of these kinds of things where, you know, the physicality, the way he speaks, my goodness, like if you know Will Smith, his voice is so distinctive, his cadence is so distinctive. The way he speaks here, if you didn't see the image, you wouldn't be able to tell it was him.
Honestly, I think like an actor who couldn't do it as well, if they tried to put on that sort of, not that accent, but the way he speaks, like you said, if they tried to do that, it could come off as like either offensive or very corny or very fake. But when Will Smith does it, you don't feel it. You think it sounds very natural. It sounds very organic. You forget that that's not the way he speaks in real life, that he is performing, like he is acting. This goes back to what I said at the top of the show, that he's so good at playing a struggling person. And that's really, I think, the best thing that he does. Like Tom Cruise tried it in War of the Worlds. I didn't believe like a second of that movie that he was like some construction worker or something, because it's Tom Cruise. And after a while, you just see him as Tom Cruise. I don't know how Will Smith does it again and again, where he completely disappears into these roles and he makes you forget that he is like a massive sensation who is filthy rich. So yeah, I guess that's just how talented he is at the end of the day.
He is also a thorn among the roses, right, more or less in his family, but also therefore in the bulk of the scenes that he has. And I think that I used the word intimate earlier, and that's really how it felt when you were crammed into the house with everybody, watching the girls interact, watching them interact as parents with their daughters. And a lot of that had to do with, I didn't feel like I was watching kid actors. I think that helped as well, because we have Sania Sidney playing Venus Williams. We have Demi Singleton playing Serena in a role that got less airtime, because this really is about the rise of one daughter first before the next. And I like that they didn't feel precious. I didn't feel like I was watching precocious child actors. I just felt like I was watching girls, determined girls who were giving their all in whatever they were doing, which is exactly how they're supposed to make you feel.
So if the Oscars handed out Best Ensemble Cast Award, I would totally plump for this movie to get it, because yes, Will Smith's role is tremendously important to this film, but I don't think it would have come across as powerful if not for all of these people around him, right? The family, it creates such a warm space for you to exist within, you know, in their small house. And then his interactions with his wife, played by Anjanue Ellis, who she owns every scene she's in, which is an incredibly difficult thing to do with a Will Smith hanging around as well. And she, I think, embodies some of the more problematic aspects of Richard Williams' life. The movie doesn't pay enough attention to it, and often films like this don't. But in her character, you can see how, or he wouldn't have done the things that he could do if he didn't have her. And I think all of these things make for a great sort of push and pull in terms of relationships. And because this film really centers around those relationships, I think it was really important that they had the cast that they did.
Also, I think that's one of the best things that the movie did, right? It's like it didn't paint him as this saintly figure or this angel figure where he's like completely perfect in whatever he does, like he has no flaws. The movie has this, there's one sequence without spoiling it, and it's a long sequence that's very difficult, very intense and a lot of drama, where it tells you that this guy is not dependable. He's also kind of flaky. He's an eccentric character. And like you said, he might be, at a lot of times, he is very like insufferable and difficult to be around. And I think that was important to like show you the person for like the human being that he is, and not this sort of driving force that can do no wrong, makes all the right decisions all the time, has no confusion or conflict. Just having those portions in the movie, I think, made it a way better movie, at least elevated it by about 30 to 40%.
Can I just say that this is the first film, I think, that I haven't been frightened by John Bernthal, and it took me a little while to get over that.
That's why I couldn't recognize him. The floppy hair and the mustache made him much too friendly looking.
It's not even that. It's the general effervescence, mm-hmm. right? It's not a word I've ever used to describe that man.
The dweebiness.
Yeah, he's so cute. And so when he first shows up with his, hey, hi, love it, I really didn't know what to do. I was
constantly
like,
getting bullied by Richard Williams. I was like, mm-hmm. what is happening? Where's Punisher?
Yeah, I was like, he's hiding a gun. He's going to club you with that tennis racket. So once I got over it, I could appreciate all the things about that performance, which I really liked. I think it's not an easy role to be human in. It's quite easy for that role to have become as much of a caricature as the Richard Williams role, actually. And I think that he really managed it, especially because I'm like, I don't trust you. Everything I've seen you in before, I did not trust you. And so that was a nice change of pace. Overall, I wanted to know whether you would both recommend seeing this movie on the big screen.
I think so. And you know why? It's because it's something you said earlier, Lynn. I've missed that movies like this can exist in the large screen. I think more and more we've moved away from what is worth being seen in a cinema. And I miss that movies like these could, you know, a great story about great characters, good acting, and then you're sitting in a cinema and you're able to cry when you want and kind of feel a rush of joy when something good happens. Why not? I think that's an experience that's worth keeping.
Oh, I'm going to go in the opposite direction and say no. I'm going to say this is like the perfect streaming movie or the perfect thing to watch on the small screen at home or on a weekend. I think all the effort that goes into going to the cinema nowadays, the movie doesn't warrant it, because nothing, like the cinematography doesn't stick out. There's no, like, it isn't a big blockbuster production or anything. So for me, it's like one of those intimate, cozy family stories that you sit and watch at home when you can, like at your leisure, instead of making a day out of it.
Yeah, I also think that it's an at-home experience, and I understand why HBO Max did that. I go back to that point about it feeling like two films. They don't sit uncomfortably together, because they do manage it seamlessly, but the tropes are two films, right? That conversation or that sequence that you referenced earlier, Arvin, that belongs in hardcore drama, while the stuff on the tennis courts with the edits and the music, that's the stuff of biopics. And the tennis court stuff is, for me, worth going to the cinema, because I love tennis. But the rest of it, I actually think that I would have enjoyed watching it at home. So yeah, it's one of those things. I think it's a very particular movie to be released in 2022 at a time when we are seeing these simultaneous releases. So we're talking today about King Richard. Let us know if you have seen it, if you liked it. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.